Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. I'm tired.
Oh, baby.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Loser's Lounge. Is this a Loser's Lounge? I have a question. Is it?
Yes.
Why?
We lost.
Who did?
The Nuggets.
Did they?
Yep.
Yeah, the score says yes. They actually
I'm just saying the Denver Nuggets, as we know them, won.
Sure.
Jamal Murray hit a little buzzer beater. Remember that? And then these other guys showed up. I'm just saying. I don't know, man. I'm going to call it a preseason lounge, not necessarily a loser's lounge. Excited to be here, man. No shortage of takeaways. No shortage of discussion points. After a full offseason, we finally have an actual look at these guys. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, they make their return. Christian Brown, P-Watt, they make their debut.
Let's go.
And then all kinds of faces, new and old, also join. And speaking of old faces.
You better not come to me next. You son of a bitch.
I've got D-line, coach.
You dirty bastard. Guys, what a great game. I was keyed in mostly on that fourth quarter.
Is that when he really perked up?
And I just thought that the way that Ish Smith was running that fifth unit was something to behold.
I got Superstar Dev.
I mean, it was so... I was so glad to be back with the boys. I was
excited. You was.
I was excited to see you guys again and be on the lounge and stuff like that. Like the game.
Yeah.
Game was tough. It was fun in the first half. It was fun.
Yeah, it was.
I feel like I had more fun than anybody tonight. I mean, I'm telling you, like, this had been a long time coming to get a look at it. Was it anticlimactic, as preseason games often are? Yes, it was. This game, actually, look at Dev. Look at him over there. Did you see that?
No, I don't remember.
Did you see that, Kale? Next time, get a close up. Next time he yawns like that. Oh, big yawn. The tired bear over there.
Oh, no.
This reminded me, by the way, we're presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top rated sportsbook app. Dev, it's preseason for all of us, isn't it?
We're all just trying to get the rest out. You know, when it actually matters, that's what, like, that's what everything
is. Is that what you're telling all the gamblers that took your advice, that their money didn't matter to you?
Oh, look, it truly mattered, and I'm going to be better. Throughout this season. You guys know me. You know me. Come on, man. I'm me.
I'm him. We got to start. I mean, look, man, there's a lot to get into. Should I do a quick recap of this game?
Absolutely.
A quick one. I mean, this is a weird one because I don't really have the notes. Are so fragmented. But Nuggets got no stops to start. The very first stint for the starters, kind of ugly, man. Like, kind of, I don't want to say discouraged. Nothing can be encouraging or discouraging, really. But it was one of those ones where you're like, guys, get one stop, just one good defensive set of, you know, possessions. And they couldn't do it. They kept giving up buckets nonstop. And then there was just a funny rhythm to the game. There were some great highlights mixed in with some just like possessions where like nobody seemed to know what they were doing.
Preseason lowlights.
Yeah. It was such a – the first quarter of this game was peak preseason.
Oh, God.
It was peak preseason. But I will tell you a highlight to me personally.
Oh.
And that is that Michael Porter, it doesn't matter if he's rusty. It doesn't matter if he's been out for a year. It doesn't matter. If you just get him shooting pull-up jumpers, he's good at it.
Yeah, Mike!
Let's go. He started the game 3-4 from the field, and it was just like classic Mike. He's such a good shooter, man. Like, he makes me laugh, too. When he makes these buckets, I'm always just like, man, that's a tough shot. But, of course, it's cash money.
I love it.
It's fun to watch. Jokic did not shoot. Jokic, in the first quarter, did not look at the basket. Jokic telegraphed that he was not going to shoot unless he absolutely had to at all tonight. Weird what, energy from Yoke.
What would be the situation tonight where he had to? I guess he shot one.
He had to. They passed it to That's him with right. like half
they
a second
They shot him
left.
A grenade. Yeah, they threw him a grenade. He did
and
shoot.
He had
right.
to. DeAndre Jordan played over Zeke Nagy. That was one of the big things we were looking for. I'm not surprised given how training camp went, but that's a big note here. And it was 30-21 Oklahoma City. 30 points given up to Oklahoma City's back B squad. You know, they're missing Lou Dort. They're missing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Chet Holmgren, obviously. And Nuggets are down 9. Second unit, man, spacing might be a problem. This is going to be a thing we're going to talk about. But that second unit just looked really clunky, other than the times when Bones would pull a rabbit out of his hat. Ish Smith came in for Bones in the first half. I don't know if there's we should read into that, or I don't know why. Bones didn't play very many minutes tonight. It was kind of weird. Ish Smith played a lot. But then the starters came back in, guys. And if you want something to really hang your hat on, it's that second stint with the starting group. They closed the half looking good. It looked like, you talked about shaking the rust off or whatever, it looked like the Nuggets took all the way until about 5 minutes left in the second quarter to finally be like, hey, all right, how do we do this again? That's right. And what did we get in there? A yeah, Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
We got an official yeah, Mike. You know the best part about Michael Porter is when you could tell he's about to pull up and he's dribbling up the court and you're like, oh, here's a pull up. I think I even said it. I was like, are we going to get a yeah, Mike in the preseason?
Got a yeah, Mike.
And sure enough, he just pulls up and drains it, and my soul went to heaven for a few seconds. KCP struggling with his jumper tonight. A lot of guys struggling with their jumper tonight. KCP struggling with his. But then Jamal Murray, again, probably the actual best part of the game. The last, like, 2-3 minutes, he just caught fire. He knocks down a couple threes. He hits a buzzer beater to put the Nuggets up one heading into the half. And it just felt like, I kind of wonder if Murray didn't get that little, it wasn't quite a flurry. What's below a flurry?
A dusting.
There was a light dusting. There was a Murray dusting out there. Just a little dusting. I almost got the sense that if that didn't happen, we would have felt so, like, empty. Oh, you know, because sure. Murray looked a little rusty at first. But then he gets one of those and you're like, oh, hell yeah. Feel good about it. Second half, really quick. Starters didn't play in the second half. He just the bench unit. Jokic did have his wrist wrapped with ice.
Yeah,
I'm told. Is it something? Katie Wingy says no, but you be the judge.
I'm gonna say nothing is when you don't have your.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Like
on
you
that.
Know what I'm not gonna do when I get home?
Yeah, ice your wrist. Yeah.
No, I might. I'm pretty old.
Think about wrist. Just randomly icing like your knuckle or your ear or something like that.
I just
like,
leave the office.
Nothing's wrong with me at all.
Like, hey man, why do you have ice all over your wrist?
Hey, like, what happened, man? You fall or something like that?
No, I just like it.
It's actually nothing.
listen to me. It's nothing.
Just like the cold shoulder.
I was a hot wrist. Yeah.
My notes here in the second half are that second unit just doesn't mesh that well. I mean, at least they haven't yet. They do deserve, you know, a little bit of leeway here. But just watching them, I'm like, I don't know. Other than Bones doing something awesome, which he didn't do a ton of tonight, I don't know what's going to happen there. Zeke Nagy finally came in. I thought he gave good minutes. He was the leading scorer tonight with 15 points.
What?
And isn't that wild? And then we took a one-way ticket to Browntown.
Holy smokes,
we
dude.
Took a one-way ticket to Browntown in the fourth quarter. We got Christian Brown. We got P-Watt. Man, we got to work on some better names for the rookies. P-Watt and Browntown. it didn't go that great. I thought – I'll actually say this. Christian Brown couldn't make shots. He's clearly in his head. 0-6. Missed a layup even. But I will say that Peyton Watson tonight, I thought he had some moments that popped. I'm not saying he like was great or this or that, but I thought he had some moments where I was like, you know what? I'm excited to watch those again tomorrow and kind of go through it. Dev, give me your big takeaway from this game. What's your big reaction?
That it does not matter how tough, it does not matter how many or how tall the defenders are. MPJ is going to shoot right over it. It does not matter. Like, you could be as close as you want to that guy. There's so many things that could happen, like, wrong on a play. Get him the ball, get out of the way, and he's going to make something happen. There was a lot of plays that, like, were not good plays. Like, you've seen a lot of the old Michael Porter Jr. moments in that game. But when he shoots it, it's going to go in. And it felt good to feel that again, where you're just like, no. What a good shot. Just a tough shot. And it's a tough shot for other people, not him.
I was going to say, don't they? I just think they're going in.
Every single time. He still has the most beautiful like jumper. You do not ever think. It doesn't matter how tough it is. Really,
he's the weirdest player of all time, man. He was 5 of 7 tonight.
So honestly, it was so great to see him get back into a rhythm, get back into himself. And really, I feel like whenever there's a shot clock and you get it to him, good things can happen.
What's your big takeaway from this game?
That the Nuggets are back, man. The Nuggets are back. I mean, that was.
I mean, they are back.
They're right. Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. being on the court with Nikola Jokic produced some of the things that we've been so sorely missing for a year and a half. Those moments, man. Nikola Jokic had absolutely no interest in playing this game. Like, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see something. It's like a lot of preseason, you just laugh at it. It's like, whatever.
I know.
But, man, Michael Porter Jr. hitting that, like, shooting with confidence. You know what's going to go in. Jamal Murray having, like, that little... the first time he hit that three, it was like, oh, my God, man. I cannot believe
it. It was actually really a great moment, man. I'm surprised at how much of a moment it was for me. It just felt good for Denise to make it.
Like, the offense was kind of weird. Although, like, when it was, like, the first team offense, when it was starting to go, it was, like, hilarious. Like,
yeah.
It was like that, you know, that blessed 8 days where, like, there was just a guy open all the time in, like, a comically large way. Like,
right.
Just, like, wide open, ball delivered, and then, you know, either shot or at the rim, like, finishes it off. Like, you just see it. You just see it immediately with this.
Wasn't that shot, like, perfect? Didn't it come, like, right as a timeout as soon as he hit it? Like,
well, I think they called a timeout because of it.
That's what I'm saying. It was just, like, so great that he got to have a moment, go over to the bench, like, you know, be embraced by his teammates and just, like, get that weight off of your shoulder. He needed that.
Yeah. It was a really cool moment. Between the two of you, I am going to award this to Dev. I think Dev wins this one. And he wins it because I'm with you, man. Michael Porter to me, like Jamal Murray, I think is going to take some ramp up, you know, and he has a bigger role. He's handling the ball. He has to do like more, I would say like more things just on the court. But Michael Porter, man, 5 of 7 tonight, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line. I do just feel like when he gets shots, they're going in at a very high rate, like an insanely high rate. And it's just so fun to watch him be back out on the court and find him. I mean, I wish the team could even find him more, although he did take 7 shots. The only person that took more than him on the starters, who would you guess? You'll never guess. It was KCP. He took more shots. He was 1 of 8.
You would never guess.
But you weren't going to guess that. But my point is, I mean, Jokic was weird tonight, of course. He only took 1 shot. But Jamal took 7. Gordon took 6. Porter took 7. Caldwell Pope took 8. To me, things are going to change. We're going to talk about Jokic a little bit. But I kind of love that everybody got 7 to 8 shots out. Yeah. I kind of like that. And I love that Porter went 5 of 7. Just, again, his shot making is ridiculous. The thing about Michael Porter is the things he doesn't do well are so frustrating. And you want this or that. And the reason it's frustrating is because you're like, man. Because when he gets it, or if he gets it, my God, he's going to score 30. He's such a scorer.
Think about it. We got that the Porter quarter, and it was just so small. Like, it was really effortless.
It didn't even feel like a Porter. You just said that. I was like, was it a Porter quarter? Not really, but it was. Many,
like, he got the ball a couple of times.
It was a preseason Porter quarter.
All right.
He got the ball a couple of times in a row. He knocked him down. It just was easy. Yep. Like, he's actually stopping on fast break pull-ups. Like, his confidence is clearly there. It was great to see those type of things. But, yeah, just having the rotation where everybody gets involved, like that's how you get back into a season. Yeah. And also when you look at it, that was a positive where you say didn't play well, but you still went into the half with a lead, you know, with the starters. And then from there you lose the game, but the starters didn't play. So it was like you don't get down on that type of game.
No.
First game of the season, rust under you, working your way back into like from injury. Like, so things look good.
I will say, Malone said that the guys will get 16 to 22 minutes. They played 15.
There you go.
I'm telling you, I think Murray hit that shot at the buzzer, and Malone was like, you know, this feels good.
Yeah, it did feel good.
Let's just...
I kind of agree. I mean...
I kind of do, too.
I was fine turning the... I mean, the rest... That second half of the game was not watchable. However...
It wasn't great.
That first part of the... I mean, the first half of the game was delicious.
I will say, so Porter was great. Jamal Murray missed his first 3 shots, I think, of the game. And then he goes, 4 of 4 from there and really had a nice finish. So it was great to see those guys back on the court. I will say one thing, and Jokic has to know this. It's really hard for you to ramp up to the season when Jokic doesn't shoot. And tonight it was so clear he wasn't going to even try.
No.
Because what the team has to do is adjust to Jokic being aggressive. And tonight, man, he's in these weird, he does these weird things, man. Like, it's a preseason. Like, he doesn't count. None of this stuff counts. But, like, he does these things every now and then where you're kind of like.
Are we going to go deep into psychoanalysis.
I'm not going into psych.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
No, what I'm saying is it's really hard to practice when your main fulcrum is I'm not practicing tonight.
I mean, his body language was bad. Like when they would look at him on the bench, he was like his million kilometer stare.
Yeah.
Like, he just was like his just staring back at Sambor.
We're back to the old days. Whenever he first gets back, dude, he's like, yeah.
We're getting into seasonal affective depression. Jokic.
Did let's rain go, tonight.
Dude. Yes.
I will say, you know, Jokic's going to play, two, maybe three more games in this preseason. He's not going to play a lot. I hope we see a really aggressive Jokic in one of these, just because, in part, I'm so happy with the balance tonight. If these guys would have played two halves, presumably everybody would have gotten 14 shots, which is incredible. But I do want to see, does that balance maintain when Jokic's trying to kill his guy? Because to me, it's my number one hope. Again, this is preseason. None of this, for Jokic especially, nothing matters. Like, there's a lot of guys that nothing matters, but for Jokic especially, it doesn't matter. But it is one thing where I would just love to see what this team looks like when he's being aggressive and everybody, like a whole team, is like, we got to double, we got to triple. And it's like, no, you better not.
This is what I'm saying. Like, Jokic was so removed, and we got enough from the guys that we were just wanting to be back. Like,
yeah,
the fact that Porter and Murray were able to score, and we got some good defense from KCP, even though his shot wasn't falling. Like, Aaron Gordon looked incredible. Like he was rebounding, he was dunking. Like, he was back in that role he was talking about early on, about how being able to play power forward, he's get into the grimier parts of his game, like the more muscly parts, and so, like
the musclier
dude. That's what he was. I mean, he played exactly that way. It was great. So I'm extremely excited for the season this year.
Yeah, with Jokic, you know, he's probably like really good with icebreakers and things like that, just to make sure everybody feels comfortable. Yep. When you see that in these type of games where he could have went into this and dominated every single time because they didn't have the guys for him. It's the Thunder. But he knew that he had other guys that he had to work in. You know, we went on and on about MPJ coming back and Jamal Murray coming back and things like that. He understood that. So it's like, let's not take that moment away from them. But at the end of the day, like Adam was saying, you want to see what it looks like when he's at his best, because that's when the Nuggets are going to be at their best. That's when they look like contenders. So while I think it's great that he got, you know, them acclimated and got their confidence up and got them going where they could go with it, now you take the time to be like, okay, now you guys work around me. Yeah. So I think it was he came in with the intention to pass and get them going.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like, okay, let's slowly start ramping up into what we need to be.
I bet he doesn't take a shot the entire preseason.
Yoke. He never takes a shot.
What did he have anymore?
Did he have take one? He took one shot.
He had one shot. It was in the corner. It was a three. And because he gave it to him with 1 second left of the shot clock.
Because to do anything else would have been too obvious. You know what I mean? Yeah. It would have been too obvious if he would have just like not shot it. They'd be like, bro, what? Oh, that's too funny. If we have any notes on Caldwell Pope, I mean, he goes 1 of 8. Here's the thing about shooters, and I believe this about Christian Brown too. You either make or miss when you're in a low usage to 3-and-D role. Like, if you don't make the three part, then it's like you suck. And tonight, Caldwell Pope went 1 of 8, 0-4 from the 3-point line, 1 rebound, 1 steal. And so you look at it and you go, huh, a little bit of a weak game. So here's actually one way to put it. Those guys all finished in the positive, except for Porter, who was a -2, but I wouldn't read anything into it. But those guys basically all played neutral. And Jokic went 0-1. Caldwell Pope went 1 of 8.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, Caldwell Pope was trying to be Will Barton. He just wanted to be Will Barton. In
he's studying tape all summer. He's like, I know exactly
what to do here.
I gotta get the crowd to turn on me immediately.
There were people on the
time over at random times, but really, the one thing that did stand out about him, he ran the floor well. Like, he did space. Like, he has an understanding of where to be at spots, and also he had open shots. Like, he just didn't knock down those shots, but he's like wide open every single time. So once those fall, you're not looking at it the same way. He's also a shooter. He's also a scorer. So you take those looks every single time. When they start falling, nobody's complaining about it.
Ivaka TV, you guys know about them, right? They're the GOATs in Denver sports. But here's what you really need to know about them. On October 27th of this very month, this very year, we're going to debut our documentary. We're only days away from maybe, I don't know how soon, before reviewing the poster of the documentary and the title, which I'm very excited. And just shortly after that, the trailer, the first trailer for this documentary. So some big things coming around this week. But Ivaka TV is going to be the place where you can watch that documentary from our Serbia trip, that you can watch it exclusively. They're also the GOAT in Colorado sports because they've got Altitude TV. Where else can you watch them this year? Only Ivaka TV. To score this great deal, Ivaka TV is will give you $25 a month plus $5 receiver. Right now, Colorado sports fans get $10 off if you use our code. I saw somebody on Reddit the other day that was like, hey, I just bought it. And someone's like, you use the promo code to get the deal. And they're like, what promo code? Idiots. Morons.
Ridiculous.
They don't, not DNVR people. Paying $10 too much a month, which is a lot. That's twice as much.
Sick.
You want to instead go to Ivaka.tv/Colorado10. That's EVOCA.tv/Colorado10. And what does that get you? $10 off a month, off per month for 3 months. And incredible there. No contracts, no catches. Ivaka TV is made for champions of the remote. You guys want to know where else you can get incredible deals?
Where's that?
The Game Time app. How much would you guess you could, on the Game Time app, how much do you think you could have gotten a seat for at this game tonight?
Under $5.
$10.
$10? You say $5? $1! The Game Time app, you could have gone to the Nuggets game tonight for $1 on the Game Time app.
I might have asked for a refund on the way out.
What's that? You might have asked for, that might have been an overpay. $1 you could have got that tonight. If you missed, I'm telling you, you should go to preseason games. They're cheaper. You can get down close. Hell, but yeah, you should always use the Game Time app. Guys, in the link to the description of the show, you will see the link to all of our sponsors. Use that Game Time app. I'm telling you, now is the time because preseason is almost here. You're looking for some tickets, maybe opening night you want to go. You hop on the Game Time app. I promise you're going to find great deals on there. They've got all these specials. You know how it is. You sign up, they got all these different specials. Look at it right there. It's super easy to use. Even my old ass can use it.
Oh, man. See, that's the
point real. Right
there. Now I know. That's actually pretty crazy. And especially now if you have like, you know, young kids, you might as well get out to a game right now. They don't understand what's going on. You also get to like live in the moment.
Actually, you have kids. Look at you, man. You're this is so smart. I should have brought my girls tonight.
That's the time that you do it.
In it for a dollar? Like, yeah, they're so little, they're gonna want to get up and where's Rocky? Like, yeah, just $1.
You could be like the cool guy. You could invite their friends. Bring their friends.
Oh man, I could have told them all your friends are welcome. They're an extra $1. So if you guys love DNVR, you're gonna love the Game Time app. Again, our partners aren't just advertising partners, they're people we fully get into bed with. We fully get into bed with these people.
I mean, the phrasing is a little strange, but I don't know what you mean. I agree.
Best way to support us, buy tickets on the Game Time app. Guess what, guys? We're doing things a little bit different this year. We're going to experiment with doing things a little bit different. We have two people at the arena tonight. We have Harrison Wind. We also have Brendan Vogt.
Oh.
Right now, we're going to go live to Brendan Vogt, who has been in the presser with none other than Michael Malone. I suspect he was a cranky one in the postgame. Somebody downstairs said earlier, we didn't have the bad practice at training camp. They're like, this is the bad practice. This game was the bad practice. Malone will be pissed. Let's find out if we're right. Is he ready to come on? There he is. He's on the air. Brendan,
let's go.
Vogt.
Let's go.
And look at that great shot we have of him with the arena behind him. Vogt, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. And I'm happy to report that you're dead on about Michael Malone. Not only was he less than pleased, he utilized this presser as if it were the bad practice at training camp. We got all the cliches off. They did not get better today, gentlemen.
They didn't get better. Well, he's probably right about that.
The transition defense was poor. The paint defense was poor. The perimeter defense was poor. He has a hard time pointing to any area where they excelled, and their weaknesses are still glaring in bright neon lights. Does that sum up his mood for you?
I mean, it's funny because he's right. Like, he's definitely right. But at the same time, like, I don't know, man. It's preseason. It's a little concerning, but he has to play these notes.
0% concerning.
I mean, they did look like they didn't know what they were supposed to be doing defensively. That was a really bad defensive effort. And it is funny that Malone specifically singled out transition defense, and they were just giving up the worst transition defensive possessions ever. So, all right. Well, go on. What else? Surely that was all he was upset about.
Yeah, well, if you believe it or not, guys, for Malone, it all starts with defense. And if they're not containing and they're not shrinking and they're not helping, well, now all of a sudden you're taking the ball out of the basket and you're playing against a set defense every time. So it's not just the points you're giving up. It's the burden that puts on the offense as well. He did not like the way the second unit played tonight, obviously, particularly Bones. When it was really all about how hard he's playing through the ups and the downs, which Malone talks about that a lot with Bones, his mentality. He cited guys like Brown and Watson. They came in, they played hard. They missed some shots, but they played hard the whole time. That wasn't really the case for Bones. He did say that Bones will be better, the second unit will be better, and that's what the preseason is for. But it definitely was not to his liking tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, Bones, because I kind of – did you get the sense that Bones – I don't want to say got benched, but that his minutes were, like, kind of reduced tonight. So
I think he got preseason benched. We did see his at times where we could have seen Bones. And, look, just being in the building, there were a couple of moments where Malone definitely had some words with some stares for Bones coming off the floor. Yeah. I think it was an effort thing. You know, it wasn't just the results, but just – Malone wanted to see defense tonight, first, second, third, and fourth, and it's the very last thing he saw. And so we heard from a Malone in the exact kind of mood we anticipated. One note, fellas, on that second unit, it was DeAndre Jordan in the game at backup center. Like we talked about it, you guys talked about seeing a training camp, but Malone did mention that that's not set in stone. Zeke Nagy will get looks. He's going to get some looks with the second unit, Malone even said, in this preseason. So that great training camp Zeke had in San Diego, that's still going for him, Malone said. And so that's not set in stone. And when asked by Howard Harrison Wynn if that means there's a position battle afoot, a competition, Malone said it's all a competition right now. I think there are a lot of guys back in the locker room that think their roles are set in stone, and that is not the case.
This is definitely the angry Malone. He is playing all the notes. Man. This is such a class. This is such a Malone from preseason practice, not a preseason game. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to play the hand that's dealt.
You know what he says? He liked the way DeAndre Jordan played, so there's that.
Did he really? He singled him out?
He had 8.6 boards, dynamic roller still, Malone said. I mean, it was I don't know if it was effusive praise, but it was praise.
All right. Okay. All right, give me what else you got there.
That's mostly it from Malone, guys, and he knows it's preseason, he knows this is where you get, you know, the rust off, but he talked all summer and in these last few weeks about wanting to see them sort of humming, right, clicking on all four cylinders, really operating like a championship organization. And guys came in and didn't play very hard tonight. And so whether it's a problem or not, in our world, it's the very biggest problem in Michael Malone's world. And he reacted just how you'd expect.
Well, take us to the one or two good parts of the night. You know, Michael Porter and Jamal Murray make the return. Take me to the moment where Jamal Murray hits his three. What was it like inside of that?
It was a light crowd tonight, but you could tell that was the moment the crowd was waiting for, obviously. You know, his announcement in the starting lineup was a moment for sure, but it was really that shot when everyone kind of got to their feet, and it was a sense of relief for sure. And not just that he hit that shot, but that he got into a little rhythm there at the end of the half. Then, of course, hits the buzzer beater to give them the lead. And it's just been so long. It's been so long since we've seen it. It's been so long since he's seen himself do it. And him motioning to the crowd, you know, this is what
yes, I'm so glad you brought that up.
We actually did just get to talk to him briefly when he's down there now still with Porter and others, but he talked about that moment as good for him. He hasn't felt that. He hasn't been in that zone, locked in like that in so long. Because I think in a way it almost gets away from Jamal. He hits those shots. He's so hyped. I don't even know if that's a calculated reaction. I think it's just happening. And it's been so long for him since he's been in that headspace. And so Jamal was in a good mood tonight. He wasn't overjoyed. But I think he was happy to have some of these firsts out of the way and happy to be back.
Now, we all here have our guy, you know, little corners of the world that we carved out early. Porter kind of is one of your guys. I mean, for sure. Tonight, the shot making, we hadn't seen it in a while, but that didn't take any time. There was no, like, ramp up to Porter's shot making. He just came in and started making shots again.
Oh, not only that, he just gave us the full experience. There was the look off Jokic for an ill-advised long two that was nothing but net.
There was the that's the actual full Porter, is the look off of Jokic hit a contested long two. And it's like, you wrong answer, but it's also right.
Yeah, Jokic's like, yeah, whatever. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, there was my personal favorite Porter possession was when Jokic found him in what should have been the quarter. But Porter forgot to relocate to the corner, had no idea the pass was coming, bobbled it, and then just stepped back and hit a three anyway. That's what we're watching with Michael Porter.
I love it, man. Well, we can sit here and laugh at it. Malone's going to be a little grouchier, I'm sure, but we can sit here and laugh at it. Any final thoughts before we get you out of here?
I don't, you know, it's not going to be like riding a bike for these starters. They do need those reps together. I think we learned that tonight. I don't think they're going to struggle per se, but it's just, they got to be on the floor. They got to get some reps together. But by the end of that half, they were doing some of the stuff we expected to see. It felt good to see. I'm sure they'll be fine in the long run.
All right. Get home safe, buddy.
Bye, guys.
We're gonna kick him off so that I can say strong disagree. No, here's my thing. Like, it might take some time. Here's my thing as we're sitting here processing all of this. We can't let Yoke off the hook entirely for this. Yeah. Yoke's passive aggressive. The team came out and they didn't have energy tonight, right? Defensively. They weren't locked in. Who's the best player on the team?
KCP.
Would you say Yoke came in with, like, locked-in energy like he was coming out here?
No, he wasn't playing at all.
And this is my point, man. Like, we can't just kind of laugh at it. I mean, what is funny to us, we do get to laugh at it. It's not that heavy for us personally over here. We just want to win. But I will say that there's something to, if your main guy is kind of in a weird headspace, it's hard for the rest of the team to be like, here we go. We're going to make a statement and show ourselves we can do this. And I kind of feel like this is when Malone talks about what needs to happen from Yoke this year. It's leadership. Some of it is just knowing, like, hey, man, you got to come out here and show them that you're taking the game seriously so they take it seriously. Again, I'm not trying to put this on Yoke, but I do think this is part of his learning curve.
Yeah, it also makes sense on why he was pretty critical of Bones and then high on DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan doesn't have high expectations going into this game,
sure.
Or not for him.
Right.
But he's still playing hard. He still was productive and active in that game, even though there was some mistakes. It was still him giving his all. Bones, on the other hand, he has very, very high expectations for him, and he has a lot that he has to prove, and a lot is riding on him this year. So you can't have those mental lapses. You can't come out and not play hard the entire time. And Malone knew how to use that against him, especially in game one. If you do a game one, then you set the tone for the year because it's a lot, you know, riding on that. With Yoke, you kind of have to give the same type of, you know, conversations where it's like, hey, we know how great you can be. We know how good you are. But also, you know, you have to key in and make sure that you set the tone for everybody else on the team because, you know, they go as you go. So same things.
Dylan says, who else had Adam disagrees on their bingo card?
I'm sure Brendan did. See, like, I mean, I understand all of this. I understand. Like, for me, like, watching this game, like, I was really interested in seeing how Jamal Murray was going to look, how Michael Porter Jr. was going to look, how Bones Highland was going to look, how Bruce Brown was going to look.
Yeah.
And of that, the only one that didn't look that great was, unfortunately, Bones Highland. But, you know, Bones Highland was doing too much. The starters were doing too little. But at the end of the day, they still, like, figured it out. I mean, I know that we need to get the flowing, beautiful, poppin' basketball that is going to propel the Nuggets to their ultimate ceiling.
I mean, that's how they win. Yeah.
That is how they win. But they also are talented enough to shoot their way out of it. I'm not advocating that they do that. I'm not worried about it. Like, I just need to see Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray feel confident that their shots are going to fall. And I know for a fact that it literally is going to snap into place with Nikola Jokic. As soon as all he does is just get people the ball exactly where it needs to be. And then he just needs people to be able to complete the
But he didn't. He didn't. But he didn't necessarily do that tonight.
He didn't care at all tonight.
I know, but this is my point, and we don't have to belabor it. I do think Jokic has to care. Like, right. Jokic has to do. Here's the thing,
if he wants to win tonight's game, he does. But
I'm saying to get the team to where they need to be for the regular season.
I don't know. I still think even game one, like, it's like if these people had never played together before, like, I think I would feel a little bit more concerned. I mean, I don't care at all. Like,
let me ask you this. If Yoke came out tonight in the zone, just with intensity, do you think the team's defense is better?
Probably.
That's my whole point.
But I mean, like, I think he will come out like that and the defense will be better when the lights are actually
bright. Here's the thing. Sometimes when you're as gifted as Yoke is, you think, like, well, I can just flip a switch. Well, I can do this or that. Yeah. But I'm not sure that Michael Porter can. I'm not sure that, like,
But Michael Porter was given more responsibility tonight as a result. Like, he probably got more shots up. He probably got – because Jokic was unwilling to shoot them.
But we're talking about the Nuggets not being there defensively tonight, which is their challenge. But their challenge is to be a good defensive – Jokic came out tonight on his heels. I'm just saying, I do think this is part of – like, unfortunately for Jokic, he has to do all the parts he hates the most in basketball.
Yeah, also, what is the one thing that they say about Jokic? The negative.
That can't he guard?
That he's not a leader. Oh. And that's how you set it. That you have to set the tone on that end where you can't just turn on a switch. The Nuggets are good. They're not that good where you're, you know, having to figure it out, or we're going to be good, you know, eventually. Like, the defense is not there. So you start from day one, you know, trying to say, hey, we made all these changes. We made this difference. Also, you have the back-to-back MVP. Like, he should be the one that's upset and talking to the guys about, hey, we can't lose to that type of team. We have to be more locked in. Mm-hmm. We have to be – that's where the leadership, you know, standpoint comes from. And I think this was a perfect opportunity for him. But if you mail it in, now you're not the one that can call other guys out. Right. And now, you know, when does the leadership, like, come from? Yeah.
It's a preseason game. It's game number one. So, but I just will file it around. But I just file it around as a note. Like, hey, I would love to see Yoke come out with a little more intensity, set a tone, and be able to hold everyone accountable. Let's go to the bench, though, because there's a lot of interesting things here. Who was your standout from the bench tonight? Non-starters. Everybody else. Was it DeAndre Jordan like Michael Malone?
God, maybe. I mean, DeAndre Jordan looked pretty good. Bruce Brown looked pretty good.
I think Bruce Brown will be one of those
Zeke
guys.
Zeke Najee looked pretty good at the end, but I think that was Zeke.
I think it was Zeke.
The thing about Zeke, though, he played at the absolute, end of end of the bench. Like, he was, you know, he wasn't going up against anybody.
I'm still going to go with Zeke. The reason I'm going to go with him is because it was the things that, you know, you need from him. He was super aggressive. He's dunking on guys. He's trying to be aggressive and dunk the ball every single time he touches it.
He is trying to dunk it a lot.
Yeah. And you need those type of things, especially if it seems like, I mean, all conversations and all everything is pointing to him being the backup center or him playing the center spot. So if you have a guy that's going to grab the ball and try to dunk it every single time, I mean, that makes sense. The three ball's not falling. He's getting stronger. He's getting bigger. Why not be able to put him down there? And he's showing that he can make that type of transition. So he has to be the guy for me right now. And also, you already know defensively, he's going to be able to step out and he becomes an interchangeable defender because it's not just him guarding bigs, but he can step out on a wing if he has to. So if you need a lockdown defender, throw him in.
Five offensive rebounds tonight. Now, he only had six rebounds, which in 17 minutes, okay, I mean, not great, not terrible. But five offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's big. One defensive rebound, that's small. But five offensive rebounds. So an interesting game from him tonight. It was more interior oriented, I felt like. He had 3 3-point attempts, but goes 1 of 3. But he did find himself inside. And I think your point about him trying to show off his new found muscle, he did have a couple take-ups today that were not easy.
Yeah.
They were like, I have to go through the guy to go up and finish, and he dunked it. And I can't remember if it might have been Poku, the easiest guy to muscle. But he still let him know about it, you know. So.
And he's trash-talking. Love that. Like, I love the fact that he's trash-talking. He used to be a guy that, like, you know, played C-notes and things like that on the keys. Now he's trying to dunk on guys, and he's wearing gold do-rags. Like, I think we're starting to see the cool Zeke Najee and also, like, just – a lot more aggressive, and I love that.
Yeah, I need to see him do it against somebody who's going to play an NBA game this season. You know, like,
yeah, but he's also not a starter. Like, this is not a.
Well, I know, but
he's playing against guys that.
Well, are I know, like, but him. I have a hard time getting like that excited about things that happen in the fourth quarter of a preseason. He looked fine, but like, there was nothing.
You have to grade the things that are happening, though. You're grading the meaning of the extrapolating the meaning.
Yes, of course. Because I'm looking forward to the NBA season.
Like, but I'm saying
Jokic going to be a downtrodden guy, and the start, like, is it going to be discombobulated come when game one of the NBA season starts? No. Absolutely not. In a vacuum, like, okay, like, if we were really, like, looking to win this preseason game and get a perfect process, like...
What did Malone say that we didn't get better today, though? That's all we're looking... That's all you're looking for.
I don't think that's true.
Really?
Just to get confidence out of MPJ and Jamal Murray and see that they're able to play again and do it against... That's
definitely true.
Yes, like, that is all that matters in this conversation. Like, nothing matters at the end of the bench. Nothing.
I want to see them do it against a real NBA team, though.
Well, okay, but those were at least starters.
Well, no, they weren't starters.
For NBA
this
teams.
Was their backups playing starters.
Well, I mean, like
Jalen Williams started. Yeah, like, come on.
No, I don't.
Same thing. It's no, it's not. No, it's not. But Zeke was fine. It was fine. It's like, I want Zeke to get in earlier. To me, it's like more disconcerting that he had no. Run until it absolutely didn't matter.
Well, didn't it come out right before the game that he had like an ankle like injury or tweak? Or
I don't
something
think
like
so. Oh, I didn't
it
see
did.
That.
There was like something that happened with his ankle.
He was dunking, so
they didn't know if he was going to play or something like that.
That's wild. I want to get to the rookies here real quick because I don't know that I have a ton of notes for Jeff Green, Bruce Brown, DeAndre Jordan, or Ish Smith. Although Ish Smith had some moments tonight, you know, he did some things tonight that were like, hey, he could be out there. I don't really even have notes for Davon Reed or Bones Highland. But Christian Brown and P-Watt, Peyton Watson, that is his real nickname, man. Like, everybody out there was calling him P-Watt. So I'm like, all right, it's going to be P-Watt. You just got to get with it, guys. Let's start with Christian Brown. 0 of 6, 0 of 2 from the three-point line. Didn't necessarily have his fingerprints on the defensive end, although who was there to guard? But, it, you know, didn't stand out there. The one thing I'll say, he record scratched like four times in a row. Like, he clearly is in his own head about his shot. And it reminded me, I feel so bad for the guy. Like, we got transported back to Summer League where, to me, the missed shots in Summer League were one thing, but it was that he got rattled by it. I think he's rattled again already.
Like, he's super rattled, and it also threw off the rest of the group that was with him because they're like, I don't, and it's not even that he's supposed to be the guy, but they kept on like making sure that he was getting the shot. Like, it was everything kept on bottling to him, and he's like, nope, I don't want it. Hot potato every single time. And
a couple that were like real obvious.
It puts everybody else in a bad spot where they're trying to figure out what's going on. They're even trying to go back to him because they're trying to give him good looks. And he does not want to shoot him. He's, like, turning down shots.
Yeah.
So, like, he has to get his confidence back up because especially with that unit, there was not many playmakers. There was not many scores. And for them to be going through you, like, they expected a lot more. He's missing layups. Yeah, he's turning down shots. He's biting on, like, you know, like rookie type.
Oh, he did. They weren't even head fakes.
Yeah, like bad head fakes.
The foul, so like, the foul at the 3-point line where there was like 0.5 seconds left.
And that was against a guy that I would never know his name. Yeah. They would never say his name again. So like, think about, you know, when a vet gets him in those type of situations, if you're going to be relying on them to do those type of things. So this was like I think an eye opener like type of game for him where it's like, hey, you got to get yourself together and you got to get your confidence back. Like, where's that champ that everybody, you know, talked about and knew?
Yeah, man. He's like, he's not ready for this right now. Like, I hope he gets time at the Gold. Like, I hope he gets like
Christian Brown.
Yeah. I hope that they send him. He's like not at all ready for the NBA. He just like, it's so big for him right now. Like, it is there were passes that were, like we're talking about, like, 1, 2, 3, the natural end to that progression of passes. He has, and he's like, and he throws it to a guy who's much more closely covered, doesn't have a great shot.
I mean, he just has no confidence.
That's
for
what
sure.
I mean. Like, yeah. He has that, like.
This league is so much about confidence. Honestly, most guys that don't make it, it comes down to confidence.
No, he has to develop his confidence. I don't know what he's going to here. Like, he needs some time to, like, just really. That first game that we watched him play at Summer League, which, you know, is a cut well below even this level of competition, he looked incredible. He came out, he was the focus of the team. He was shooting with confidence. He was driving with confidence. Like, everything he was doing tonight was like almost comical. He was like throwing the basket or the ball up and like didn't want to shoot it at all. I mean, I'm not killing the guy because obviously this is his first action in a true NBA environment, but he needs to marinate a little bit. Like,
I'm curious. The thing about it is I'm curious to see what minutes he gets because prior to the starters not coming back, he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
So we might not see him in this Friday's game. The starters are probably going to rest one of these games and he'll get a lot of minutes there. But I wonder if tonight was the second best chance he's going to get. There'll be one game where he gets a better chance. But every other one, he'll get just a little bit less.
Oh, and haircut take. He has the boys cut from Fantastic Sam's. He needs to change his hair.
This to me is the most important take. We were talking earlier about how can we change? How can we get him more NBA ready? Because he doesn't look like an NBA player. Look, I'm just saying. Yeah. Look, he needs to shave the head. I think he needs
cornrows.
Come
on, man.
To me, what he has to do, like
cornrows.
His hair lays down. He's got a very business casual haircut. He needs to get a little like motion in it, a little up action, maybe a part, a spike or two, like Luca. Luca goes up with the hair, spiky. He's got a boyish charm, but he doesn't look like an actual boy.
I think if Luca wasn't like a top five player in the world, we would not like his haircut. I think we accept a lot of things.
He has a look. Yeah, he had the look before he got into the. Before we knew he was like.
That's because he was a star already. We knew he was a monster. He won a championship.
Nah, but there's something to his look, and there's also something.
He was 17 years old when he
Christian Brown's look too. I agree.
I'm gonna say tattoos. He needs tattoos.
But you can't pair tattoos with that haircut.
Yeah, it does not go.
You could actually. Lying. You could. He would look like a good Charlotte or something. Oh, yeah, you know, like, he would look like a punk rock.
He would have to wear a
pop
vest.
Punk. Not,
he'd have
not
to wear
punk.
A vest with a T-shirt all the time. Like, he'd have to look like a mixologist. to be able to pull off a bunch of tattoos and that haircut.
Would you design, if he came to you and was like, hey man, I would love some tattoos.
Yes.
You would design his tattoos.
I would give him a sleeve full of Bones Highland tattoos.
I thought you were going to put Brown Town or something.
Oh, and of course, like, welcome to Brown Town.
Oh, man, that'd be horrible.
Let's talk about P-Watt. I was actually impressed. Part of this is, again, expectations or whatever. But like, my expectations for Peyton Watson are very low. He did a couple things tonight where I was like, that's kind of exciting, you know, covering some ground or what have you. I wouldn't say that it was like anything like a great game. But he's the guy of all the players off the bench. I think I'm most excited to go back and watch his minutes.
Yeah, especially defensively. Like, he's super active. Mm-hmm. On offense, I feel like there was a lot of times he was lost. And also think there was like a lot of times he's mixed up with Brown where he's like trying not to like get in the way while getting in the way. That mid-range pull-up, horrible. But defensively, like, he's all over the place. That block that he had where he got to the top of the he got to the top of the backboard and got a block like out of nowhere. It could have been a goaltend, who knows? But like, it's good to like be able to just like go after guys and make them work like extremely hard. Also, just like, he looked a lot bigger than I thought he would.
Really?
He did. Well,
just like taller.
He just looked taller out there.
He did actually look really long.
He looked long, but he looked so skinny. He looked like he looked like a rookie.
Man, so when Malone was talking about how there's a picture of Zeke Nagy in the gym and it says like, what did you do this summer? It has the before and after basically of one summer. I hope that like he's looking at that going up. Because he has a great build on him. Like, Peyton Watson's a guy that could come back next year and you'd be like, oh my God, what happened to him? He, you know, he's got a good frame on him, but he does look, he has a boy's body. You know what I mean? Like,
he has a rookie's body.
Yeah, yeah.
So many guys.
He's a 19-year-old body.
So many guys come in and look like that and then turn into monsters.
I was impressed with him. Were you impressed with him today?
To be honest, like, our, you know, because we had impressions of both of the rooks coming out of Summer League and P-Watt was like much less impressive in Summer League than Christian Brown. But so I was kind of like, I didn't really expect anything. And I agree. Like, he was very impressive defensively to me. His hands were flying around. He was getting in passing lanes. He got a couple steals. Like,
he gets some crazy blocks, man.
Yeah. You know,
you want to hear his stat line?
Yeah.
2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, look, you laugh at that line, although he only played what? How many minutes here? He played 15 minutes. But to get 2 steals, 2 blocks, like 2 assists, that's actually a lot of production.
It was like young Vando.
Yeah, it kind of was. He kind of was like young Vando out there.
He didn't have that one signature bounce pass that we'll always remember him by.
He didn't quite have that.
It's coming.
I was impressed with him, and I was definitely worried about Christian Brown. Not because he missed shots, because, you know, I don't care. Yeah. It's that he got rattled. And to me, I'm like, the point you made that I think is so right is, I think he has the skill set to play for this team. Like, like, he has a skill set to do it. But if you don't have confidence, I'd like Davon Reed, man. Think about how much Davon Reed. Because Davon Reed, to me, is like, his skill set is, I'm like, okay, I don't know. He's an 11th guy skill set. That guy has confidence, though. Like, he lets it fly. He misses a shot, doesn't matter. He lets it go. And to me, that's the big thing that differentiates them right now. Let's take a break. On the other side, Harrison Wynn is going to be coming in from the arena. But first, I have to tell you about the greatest place for Dev to lead you astray, DraftKings Sportsbook. NFL action, full swing, including tonight.
Damn it.
You lose once, and that becomes your recognition. By 2 points. Actually came down to the very end. It came down to Christian Brown.
Christian Brown.
It comes down to Christian Brown.
I'm surprised you can kill him more for that, actually.
He should have been way tougher. NFL action's in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook. Betting on football. So fun. Betting on football, better than watching football.
I know.
Makes it even preseason tonight. Actually, can I tell you something? Bet on preseason. What were we doing down the final minute of this game? Sweating, cheering, going hard. Why? Because it came within laughing. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big parlays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5. They actually have so many promos. Can I tell you how many promos they have? I can't even use them all. I'm not even joking about that. They're all back there in the top line. You bet $5 at any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. And check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. These are really cool. This is where if you bet 3 rounds, you get like 10% of your bet. 4 rounds of 15 or whatever. And it goes up and up and up. So if you have one of these crazy, you want to put $1 on a crazy parlay, they'll give you an enormous boost, you know, if you put like a 10-teamer on there. So it's really great. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DMVR to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code DNVR. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. I also want to tell you guys about Eric's favorite sponsor, Athletic Greens. If you guys ever want to hear about Eric's fingernails, this is the moment.
I think most people want to hear about my fingernails.
We told you guys this. We went to Serbia, and what did we do? We ate meat. And we drank rakia nonstop for 7 days. Guess what?
I didn't even think loved we ate
it.
Meat.
Missed it.
It was meat. Yeah, we ate a lot of meat.
I just think we mostly just drank rakia.
We drank a lot of rakia. Guess what? Woke up every day feeling like $1 million. Why? I'm guessing it was the
exchange rate.
It was the exchange rate for sure. But I'm guessing it's because we started every single day like a ritual. It was almost like we would go to bed cheersing, and then we'd wake up cheersing with Athletic Greens. Better gut health. More energy. There's the things. Optimize immune system. You hate taking pills, vitamin. You have to take like 50 of them. Nope. Just drink your one shake in the morning. Supplements that actually taste great. 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, probiotics, whole food source, superfoods, and
adaptogens. Let's go.
The adaptogens that you really want to get. So check them out. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and free 5 travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/nuggets. athleticgreens.com/nuggets.
Let's go.
All right, back here, final segment. To step back real quick here, we're going to wait for Wynn for just a little bit. We may get him, we may not. He's in the locker room. Locker room availability opened up again, so you know, him over there schmoozing. The one thing that I take away that structurally, like I don't think we should read into anything, you know, too big. But the one thing that I'm writing down now on my notes of what am I looking for the rest of preseason, that second unit, the spacing was really bad. Mm-hmm. And the reason is Bones Highland's a great three-point shooter, but he's got the ball in his hands. DeAndre Jordan put pressure on the rim. He did that okay tonight. Jeff Green, good three-point shooter, but not a kind of guy that you're like, don't under any circumstances leave him open. He's all right. Dave Unreed, same thing. Bruce Brown, same thing. They don't really have anybody that's a don't leave that guy. And tonight, Malone was upset at Bones. Malone wanted defense. I understand it. It's preseason. You're trying to establish what you established. But offensively, I kept thinking, Bones has a really hard job out there. There's not a lot of spacing. I'm worried about it. Are you worried about it?
Absolutely. Like, it's just a tough spot to be in, especially to be a young guy who's getting asked to do so much. And then you get put into a rotation where there's no balance at all. There's no spacing. There's not guys that can knock it down so they can pack the paint. Like in a regular season game, you know, the other team's going to pack the paint. It's going to be even tougher for Bones because he has to facilitate, but also he's their best shot at scoring. And you put that at the guard spot, it's just it's hard. So with that, you're going to have to just do straight defense with just knocking down shots every now and then. That's just not ideal. It's not what you would want for the whole time. And also now you have to look like more forward to having to stagger, having to put guys in those spots. But you can't do that with Bones, especially on nights that Jamal Murray's not playing. So then it has to be through Michael Porter Jr. You're putting him in a tough spot of adding him more minutes, and now he's having to do too much. Like, I really just don't like the way that looks.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, it is funny. Like, thinking about the lineup and then actually seeing it perform are always like two separate things. I didn't really have any concern about the bench. Just the thought of adding Bruce Brown was exciting. And then Bones taking a step this year feels like those two, and like in and of themselves, will provide enough offense potentially. But seeing it, you're like, oh man, all right. Like, this is going to be a little bit tougher in a longer haul than maybe I expected. I don't know. Do you think that the second unit that we saw is locked in?
No.
Locked in? Like, what do you expect the second unit to actually be come game one?
Well, I'm sorry. Say that again.
What do you think that the second unit will actually be come game one? Like, it'll be.
I think it'll be the same one.
Bones, Bruce Brown. Who else? I mean, we got DeAndre Jordan. Is he going to be the backups too?
So here's one of the questions. I'm sorry, Wynn was asking me, letting me know. Everything's done here then. Okay, so yeah. The one thing I will tell you is I was sitting here watching it, and I thought coming into it, if there's a move, we know what it is. It's DeAndre Jordan for Zeke. I don't know if that's the first move you would tinker with. The one I wondered tonight watching it was – Ish Smith, would he come in and play alongside Bones? You slide Bones, not to off ball, because I think you still want him on ball, but just a secondary creator. Because to me, there was a lot of dribbling, a lot of standing around dribbling. And so I just kept thinking, and I don't even blame Bones, because part of me is like, what do I want him to do right now? Swing it to Jeff Green for an ISO? Like, I don't know. And then the other part was the stagger is the ultimate thing. And maybe the Nuggets just weren't going to play enough minutes to do that tonight.
I could see them staggering KCP also. Like, him alongside Bones, and you have two shooters back there at least.
I don't think that's going to be the move. It might be Murray. If it's Murray, that might actually really help. And it might be MPJ eventually. I mean, part of me thinks MPJ wants shots. He's a good, tough shot maker. Then, you know, maybe that's the thing we do, is you put MPJ there and tell him to get a little bit more aggressive. Dev, if you were to make a tweak to that, what do you feel like after seeing tonight? What do you feel like would be the tweak?
Well, it was now thinking about the Ish Smith and Bones. I think that it makes the defense have to guess. It also gives you a lot of speed. Where you're having to change your lineup, you know, just because, I mean, the Nuggets, they don't have the size, but they do have the speed, and also they have a guy that's off ball that can shoot the ball now. So now you have a weapon in Bones where he's not having a ball in his hands, but when he gets the ball in his hands, now other guys can make it happen. So I think that would be a wrinkle that I would try to add, or just having Bones play off ball with another, like a KCP, or someone else that can be a playmaker, but also like put him in an ability that he could shoot the ball.
Did Bruce Brown, was he the primary ball handler? I didn't think I saw him at all, right?
No. It was Bones.
Yeah. I wonder if they would ever switch that up at all. I mean, like,
Bruce Brown, I don't think, is a good enough ball handler to be the primary ball handler. He's like Aaron Gordon. You can have him initiate the offense and stuff sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
That's just one of my big questions I had looking at this is, again, it's one game. I don't want to read too much into it. But it was one thing where I was like, that lineup, I think, is going to be the thing that becomes scapegoated. We have Harrison Wind.
We do.
Oh. Harrison Wind live from the arena. He talked to Michael Porter. I'm not sure if he talked to anyone else, though. We'll find out. Wind!
Hey, guys.
How's Ball Arena? Vote went home already, huh?
Yeah, I got out of the presser. Went up to the lower bowl to look for him. The guy's just gone.
Hey, that's I respect that.
He pulled a dick. I was like, we can do that? We can just leave? Incredible.
Yeah. I was gonna like talk to him. Oh, how'd the show go? Yeah. you know, just talk about the night. Boom. He's just gone.
All right. Well, who did you talk to? Were you at the podiums tonight?
Yeah, Michael Porter spoke. He was really the only one that we got to speak to tonight. There's a weird setup this year with the media where they do podium stuff and stuff in the locker room at the same time. So it's kind of happening on top of each other. But yeah, I spoke to Michael Porter tonight. He had a couple things to say.
All right, let's hear it. What do you have to say?
Oh, well, he was just asked about, you know, this being his first game in a while. He said it felt really good to get out there, but he still has a long ways to go. And what he was talking about is just the rhythm. You know, he said, like, the rhythm of the game. Like, that's obviously the toughest part to grasp when you're coming back from an injury and just haven't played for so long. And Jamal even talked about that as well, just the fact that a game versus practice is so different. And then he was just talking about the chemistry with the starting five. He thinks it's in a good spot right now, but it's going to be even better in a couple of weeks. And they have so much talent, especially in that first five. He said, sometimes we just overthink it on offense. And so he thinks in a couple of weeks, they'll be just leaps and bounds more cohesive than they are right now.
I mean, that's definitely true. It's good though, that he felt like it was, that the rhythm is good, though. I mean, one of the questions we have, obviously, is he's going to be content with the amount of shots he's getting. And at least tonight, it sounds like he was.
Yeah, it definitely seems like he was. He was talking about just the play calls and how the offense runs with those starters and with Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, and him. And he said most of it is just read and react. Most of it is just kind of playing within the flow. And I think that's a good thing, you know, to your point. He was also asked, like, about playing within the offense versus just taking shots that he knows he can hit. Now, some of the shots that Michael Porter takes are shots that nobody else can get away with taking, but he can get away with them because he just hits those. And he said, I remember my rookie year, they'd be so upset with some of the shots I'd take. And then he also said, there's a balance. You know, if I'm hot, I might take some tougher shots, you know, than I would if I wasn't rolling.
Yeah. I mean, look, 5 of 7 tonight. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, other than yeah, Mike. All right, what else he have?
And then the last thing he said was just about Jamal coming back. He said he was almost happier for Jamal than he was for himself coming back.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was an interesting quote.
Yeah.
And then finally he was asked about just if this was a nice reminder to everybody out there of what he can do. And Michael Porter said, look, I decided I'm not playing for other people anymore. You can have an amazing season. You'll still have critics. So I'm just playing for my team and myself.
Man, I hope he really can hold up to those things. I mean, that's an easier thing, easier said than done. I mean, the pressure in the NBA and all the people talking about you, including us, nonstop.
I hope at a certain point he starts to play for me.
Hey man, I'm telling you, learned this lesson a long time ago. They're not playing for you.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was not playing for us.
What do you have? I want to hear your notes, Wind. What are some of your personal takeaways from tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest story coming into tonight was obviously Jamal Murray. I felt like in that first stint, he was definitely just kind of getting his feet wet, feeling everything out, you know, not trying to do too much. And then that second time he came in the second quarter, it definitely felt like something shifted. And he looked a lot more comfortable. He looked a lot more confident. And then I feel like that shot he hit right at the halftime buzzer, right?
Yeah.
Or like right before halftime. That was one you looked at and you're like, all right, like, that's the Jamal Murray of old. So I felt like it was a great night for Jamal. All things considered, just him coming back, coming off cold, or coming, you know, off the bench cold, and just having a couple vintage Jamal Murray moments.
Yeah, I almost feel like, you know, you, it's weird to say, but he needs those moments. You know, that's what feels good, and you need sometimes feel good to kind of be like, oh yeah, this is great. I need to keep going.
There's so much that is unwritten about what goes into successful NBA basketball play, and right now, Christian Brown has none of it. Jamal Murray can like get a lot of it, just feeling good, man. Like
you're coming off like Matt Moore with Faku.
It's rough. It looks rough. I'm not saying he can't get it. I mean, Matt Moore would criticize Faku for being short, and he could never become tall.
What are you thinking about his hair? Is that going to be your short?
About Christian Brown's hair? No, it's going to be his inability to put the basketball into the hoop
that's going to get me upset.
That's a tough one to overcome. It's a tough one to overlook. What else, Harrison?
You know, Nikola Jokic's wrist, I think, is something to monitor.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
We were told explicitly it's nothing.
We're being told, but I mean, it was, you know, something enough to be getting treated for the entire second half. I don't think it's anything crazy or anything major, but it's just something to monitor. It bothered him a lot last year. It seems like it's bothering him a little right now, so we'll see. I can't wait to talk about the bench all season. Excited for that conversation.
That might be tomorrow's show. The most annoying conversations we can tell we're going to have all year.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. And Bones Highland, not a great night for him. Definitely a key takeaway from the bench. Michael Malone was not happy with Bones Highland today.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like that was definitely the guy that irked him the most. And it was, in a lot of ways, a classic preseason game number one, I felt like.
Yeah, I would agree.
For sure.
All good takes. Well, Harrison, thanks for doing the hard work out there, to the heavy lifting. We'll see you in studio tomorrow.
Thanks for not leaving. Oh, yeah. Well, he's got
what time? Cue that outro music, Kale. Let's get out of here. We're going.
We've got super chats.
Let's read them as you hit the outro music. What do we get? You guys super chat us on a preseason game. Man, we love you. They want us to go back to Serbia. We'll do it. Oh, man, guess what? Dev has to read these because I am behind a camera.
$2.99 super chat. Just so damn happy right now that my guy Jamal is
Josh Barnett
back.
Gets it. Josh Barnett Josh gets Barnett. It. He's not back. Only, dude, he gets it.
My boy Mike Wilson said, welcome back, boys.
Oh, we back. We
are Mike. David W., is it bad to be full smugget after one preseason game? Also, what up, D-Line?
If you're a smugget after losing a preseason game to the G League Thunder.
I love everything about that message.
I do too. You know
what?
Greatest
message ever.
We just have to be ourselves in this world.
Josh Moore, Gary Harris guy. He said, I think Gordon will be our X Factor this season. Everyone is so happy with the big three being great, Jokic, man. MPJ, and Murray. This guy is a beast.
He looks so good today.
Don't sleep on him.
We really undersold how good AG looked tonight. He looked incredible.
Yeah.
He looked great. Like, honestly.
He really, truly. I mean, he looked really good.
When he's refreshed, though, he's just, he's diffy.
I agree.
Is that different?
Yep. I had to put y'all on. Yeah. And the last one is A-Rod. Sanchez said.
Not even A-Rod. Yeah. A-Rod.
Just content. I can watch the Thuggets again. MVP times three.
Well, times off three. To a slow campaign for the MVP tonight. I'm not sure.
That non-voters, but people in the media that actually vote publicly, like Nick Wright, do consider the first preseason game in their criticism.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's in the conversation right now?
Oh, let's see. Joel Embiid, I understand, did not play.
Oh, he didn't play. DMP.
LeBron went like 0 for 8.
Oh, LeBron was 0 for 8? Wash King was 0 for 8? Oh, my. Yoke was 0 for 8. What's worse, 0 for 8 or 0 for 1?
I think 0 for 8. 0 for 8 is much worse.
Oh, Yoke comes out and says, like, they say I'm washed. I'm going to prove it to them.
Guys, it was great. Murray's back, Porter's back, but it felt good just for us to be back.
This feels incredible, doesn't it? Like, listen, before the season actually kicks off, we will move back down into our natural habitat, the actual lounge. Winners.
Can't wait to be out of this one.
Winners more than losers. We're just putting some final touches on upgrading that as well. I can't wait. Dude, it's... tis the season, isn't it?
Yeah, and shouts to our guy Ray, man, who came out. OG.
Ray's the
Amanda
greatest.
Too.
My Amanda's boy.
The we had people show up tonight for a preseason game. Yeah. Telling you, we have the best people. Everybody hit that like button on the way out. See you tomorrow.
Let's go.